I want you to turn to somebody near you. Just begin to minister to them in prayer. You don't have to touch them, but if you would just reach out to them, begin to pray with them and for them. Come on, somebody here needs a touch. God, you're able. We pray, Lord. I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters tonight, God, for your healing, Lord. I pray for your strength, Jesus. I pray for a fresh anointing upon them, Lord Jesus. I pray for a fresh touch, God. New strength, Lord. Yes, encourage their faith. Oh, God, lift up those that are down. Encourage those that are discouraged. Heal those that are sick. Those that are confused, I pray for clarity. In the name of Jesus, I bind every attack of the enemy. I loose the power of God in your life. I pray life into your life. I pray victory into your life. I pray breakthrough into your situation. In the name of Jesus. Come on, if you'll claim that, I want you to clap your hands real loud. If you'll claim that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow, I feel the Holy Ghost here in such a mighty way. We appreciate so much Brother and Sister Barrow here at Turning Point Apostolic Church. They are our music ministers, and our music, in my opinion, is second to none. And we appreciate that, the anointing, the talent, the skill. He's our promotions director with things like media and things like, what's the word I'm looking for? Live streaming, all of these things. And thus, he just works hard, and we appreciate all that he does. Brother Barrow, we want you to come. He's going to come and preach the word tonight. Would you give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise if you're going to help him preach? Amen. Brother Barrow, we love you, brother. Deliver the word.
Thank you, Jesus. That sounds good. Let's do that again right now. Look, across this auditorium. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Song that says, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I pay honor to Pastor Hawkins and Sister Hawkins in this great church. Thank you for allowing me the honor to step behind his desk tonight to be able to deliver what God has put on my heart. I pay honor to our associate pastor, Brother Gunderman, and Brother Worthen, and to all the ministry team here. We are so blessed. We are so blessed to have such a great team that A lot of the things that goes behind the scenes that you don't ever see that goes into putting together a good church and having a good church body, there's a lot of behind the scenes, and I'm just glad to be a part of that, amen. And most of all, I'm glad to be a part of this church. I'm excited about what God is doing with Turning Point Apostolic Church and the family revival. We're almost to the point, even when we split our two A and B groups, we're almost big enough that this is about a full-size church with A, and then we put B. Ain't God good? Amen. We are looking forward, and I know that a lot of things have happened in these last year and a half, but God is in control, and I know that God is going to do great things. If you have your Bibles, care to turn with me to Matthew 11:15. It's a short scripture, but it's a base of my scripture tonight, of my message. If you have your Bibles, turn to, again, Matthew 11, verse number 15. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Put your Bibles down and turn to the Lord. We're just going to say an anointing over tonight's message right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you again, Lord. Anoint what I have to say, God, and let it go forward. Let it go to the hearts, Lord. I know that this is what you prepared for tonight's service, Lord. Let it go forward, Lord God. Pierce the hearts of people. Those that are watching, Lord, let them hear what you have to hear, Lord Jesus. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And amen, amen. And you may be seated. I also want to, it's never unwise to get behind a pulpit and not recognize your wife and family and everything that Sister Barrow does for me. These last few months, it's been a lot of trial. A lot of things have been going on different in my life. Not just for me, but for, I think, this church as a whole. I was talking to Sister Hawk. It was just, I think it was Sunday, and I said, you know, a lot of the multimedia and the live streaming, we all have something in common as we've lost our fathers in the last 2 or 3 months. We've lost, Sister Dee lost hers, and I lost mine. Sister Hawk's lost hers, and there's a lot of things have been going on with, you know, the COVID-19, and it seems like just yesterday, it seemed like that our world as the normal has been changed, and it seems like everything that we know kind of got put on pause, and this new norm of masks and vaccines and social distancing, words like that have been appearing in our minds and thoughts in these last few months and years, and it seems like that it's kind of been a stressful time, but it's, I believe that the church is going to be victorious during this time, and that revival is going to happen, and things are going to be done. Also, just as a reminder, if you would say a prayer on Friday, this Friday they are going to be doing open heart surgery on Rias. This is Tabitha's sister, Hannah's baby boy. It's a God thing that they caught this. It's a very rare heart disease. Baby Rice had a cold, and Aunt Beth said, won't you take him to the doctor? This is sounds like something more, and Hannah did, and they checked the baby out, and sure enough, there's a defect that supplies blood to the lungs, and because of this, they're going to be doing open-heart surgery on Friday, so just remember our family in prayer. We can guide those surgeons' hands to be able to correct the kind of enormity there in the heart, amen, because I know a God who can heal that baby. They took the baby off the vent today, and Hannah was allowed to hold the baby, so God can get in there and perform a surgeon before there's ever need of surgeon, amen, amen, amen. This message tonight, I was, during the whole pandemic when it was just, I believe, me and Brother Hawkins and maybe our wives that were here coming while you guys were watching live streaming, I shared this thought with Brother Hawkins, and I felt like it was needed to be said to the church, and he agreed, and he said, kind of a thought that dropped into my mind talking about these last few months and year with everything that's been going on. It kind of reminded me of Peter, and when we refer back to Peter, we always refer to him as the rock, the man upon the church is built upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And but if you could imagine tonight, if you had never heard about the gospel of Christ and never read the Bible, and you had literally never heard the message of Jesus Christ, and you were reading the Bible through for the first time, and you got to the story of Peter and started reading about this Peter, you might not be so impressed with him when you first start reading about Peter. He was a very jealous, you know, very vigorous, and very, he's well-spoken as far as letting people know what he thought, what was on Peter's mind. I was joking with Brother Hawkins. I said, you know, if Jesus and Peter were on in today's society, Jesus would be telling Peter, just stay off Facebook. Don't be getting on any Twitter. Just, matter of fact, you should just delete your account. Peter, just take a chill pill, in other words. It's because Peter tend to mouth off quick and then get into trouble. We find that Peter, from the very beginning of his ministry to the very end, was two different people. We find Peter being very bold, and Jesus saw something in Peter that the other 11 did not have, that Peter knew that he that had something special, but it was kind of a something that God had given him, and as far as that zealousness to be able to change the world. Of course, we find throughout the story of Peter, Peter was the first one to throw his feet over the boat and go out and walk upon the water. But throughout the course of Peter's life, we find him in the beginning to the very end that Peter went through a lot of changes. And tonight I'm going to just go through 7 steps of Peter's decline, and then of course his repentance, and then we find Peter on the day of Pentecost, and that's the Peter we all want to know. That's the Peter we all want to emulate, the rock, the one that the church is founded upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The first thing, the quality we find in Luke, is going to be kind of referencing Luke 22:31-62. We find first find the first steps of Peter's fall of self-confidence. He had a lot of self-confidence. We know that Peter was always bold in what he said and bragged upon what the accolades and everything that Jesus was doing. But sometimes Jesus would kind of advise Peter to sometimes be cautious and being boastful. And God kind of showed that this message is more. I want to just kind of put this out there. It's not just for you, it's for me tonight. This is a message that I feel like I need to preach to myself sometimes and remind myself as a Christian that we need to really check ourselves when it comes to the different phases of sometimes of being, checking ourselves as Peter did. We find that Peter didn't lack in being a man that was not of few words, but he always had many words. And we find throughout Peter's life of him sometimes being too boastful, too proud. You can relate to that tonight, that sometimes we as the church, we sometimes have to make sure that we don't become too proud, that we are that church. We are the apostolic Pentecostals, that we find ourselves so many times knowing that we have the truth, that we do have the power to lay hands upon the sick. And so many times we almost use that as our calling card. And that's a good thing. But in some ways, when you become proud and boastful, it can become a thing that we're bragging. And Brother Hawkins has preached it in the last few of his messages that sometimes it's okay to obtain the power, but it's not us. It's not our self-confidence. It's not our own power, but it's the power of Jesus Christ has given us to lay hands upon the sick. It's not Brother Hawkins doing these acts. It's Christ through us and through Brother Hawkins and through the ministry to be able to do these things. And the day that we become the church that's proudful and boastful, that we got it all together, that's when I think God wants to check us and lets us know that, hey, it's not about you, it's about me. And I think Peter struggled with that so many times that he kind of wavered between two different people of Judas and Peter, that at least Judas, you know, he was out there and he kind of made his plan known that he was there to that have an earthly kingdom. But Peter realized that his own faults, and he had his own faults, so didn't Judas, and so don't we all. But we find that we've got to make sure that we have the right self-confidence, that we take out the self and put in that we have Christ confidence, that we are about Christ's kingdom and not our own kingdom. The second step is having a prayerless life. Peter got so caught up in his own ways and the way of being a person that was taking forth the message of Christ that I think sometimes Peter forgot to take time for himself to reflect and to learn from Jesus. He was too busy trying to do all of the things that goes along with the ministry of Christ that he didn't really connect sometimes with Christ because he was so busy in doing all the things that went around. And I find this myself. I have to check myself. And I think we need, as a church, we need to check ourselves that so many times we get so quick to come in and we just find our seat or we do our ministry or we make sure that we go straight to what our jobs are, so to speak, is to do. And we need to make sure that we know what the purpose is. Brother Honeycutt, we just finished a phenomenal men's ministry. I think it was five videos that we showed, six videos that we showed, and there, I believe that there is some literature, I think maybe still back there. Grab one of those books, but in that study, it talks about that we are so quick to just go to our normal place and do our normal thing and then leave. And so many times, how many times have we walked in and there be a new saint or somebody who's visiting the church and we walked right past them and we just go do our thing? And you got to realize the whole reason why we keep the lights on and we play our music and we sing our songs isn't about entertaining you, but it's bringing the power of God into this place and letting people know what it's all about. It's about reaching Him and reaching souls. So we got to make sure that we don't follow Christ from afar off, but that we're right there at every moment that Christ healed the lame and healed the sick. He needed to be right there. And sometimes we find Peter afar off. The third is the carnality of Peter. This one was the hardest one. And this was the one I kind of shared with Pastor. We find Jesus in the garden. Jesus was preparing himself. You got to realize the dual nature of Jesus Christ. He was God manifested in the flesh. The carnal side was the man. He was also flesh, but he was also God. But you got to realize that Jesus was preparing himself to be crucified there in the garden. We find a struggle between his flesh and between the God side of the manifestation of God. And Jesus struggled, the flesh side of him. He didn't want to be, his flesh didn't want to go through the crucifixion. He even said, let this cup pass from me. But God knew what he was doing. And during all that thing, he knew what was getting ready to happen. And then right in the middle of it, he had to deal with Peter. We remember the story of Peter taking out the sword and cutting the ear off of the servant of the high priest. And it amazes me that so quickly he was in a carnal flesh. You got to realize that Peter wasn't aiming for that man's ear. He was aiming for his head. Think about the consequences of Peter if he cut the man's head off. What a greater miracle it would have been if Jesus would have picked up his head and put it on him and said, you know, God could have done it. God could have done it. But luckily it was just his ear, and he placed that man's ear back on, and immediately that ear became whole, and all those vessels became back, and that ear became a functioning ear again. It reminds me of this quick story of, I remember my time in surgery, and I remember one of the surgeries that we took was we were replacing this patient's thumb, and we took the big toe of the foot and placed it on the hand. It was a 16-hour surgery of all the vessels and everything that went into. There was two or three doctors that removed the toe and two or three doctors that placed the toe on the hand. And this was an amazing, phenomenal feat. And it took time, and they every time they would connect a vessel to make sure, they would have to check to make sure the blood. I mean, it was a very, very intense surgery. And you got to realize, anytime you attach something to the body, it takes time. And Jesus performed something right as he's being arrested. He picks up an ear and just slaps it on the side of this guy's head and says, be whole. And immediately everything was whole. That's the power of Christ. But he sat there next to Peter, who was wielding a sword, was probably getting ready to take off the other ear. And he looked at him and said, put that thing away. And so many times I feel like this is what the meat of this message was, that I feel like this time that we're going through, that the scripture I just preached, it says, he that has an ear, let them hear. And so many times we as Christians, and I've been brought up in this, and I've told this many times about my walk with Christ, and from being born in this until now, the age of 46, being raised in this, I have known nothing but church. But I've gone through times where a lot of my friends that grew up with me are now backslidden and now away from God. And I hear them talk about how that the church hurt them. I remember many times talking to my friends and saying, why aren't you coming to church anymore? And they would say, well, you just don't understand, Rob, that the church hurt me. How many people's ever heard somebody utter those words? Somebody in the church, or the church hurt me. And this scripture and this story of Peter cutting the ear off of this man, think about how that man felt. He was just a servant unto the high priest. He was just doing the job that he was told to go get Jesus. And the next thing you know, he's having his ear. Now think about, now it doesn't say in the Bible, but think about the consequences of that man. If Jesus wasn't able to get to that man to put that ear back on, I think maybe, just maybe, he might have been on the day of Pentecost not being able to hear the message that now Peter, the rock, is trying to portray, because he had cut the ear off of this man. He was not able to hear what the message of the Acts 2:38 message, because somebody in the church hurt him. And I think so many times we as the church, I'm talking about us, Turning Point, we need to be careful to wield a sword so quickly that we cut some of the people that are trying to hear the gospel of Christ. We might just get ticked off about certain things or way that certain people act. And we're so quickly to get on social media and get on certain avenues. And we're so quickly to just spurt off something. And we don't know how we sometimes hurt people. And I'm speaking to myself because it's so easy we get caught up. And I told Pastor, I said, you know, with all the things that are going on right now on social media, with the political and everything that's going on, with mask or do we not mask or do we vaccine or we don't vaccine, it seems like we've broken up into two different parties of people that are mad at the people that got vaccines, and the vaccine people are mad at the people that don't have vaccines. The people that wear masks are mad at the people that don't have masks. I can't go into a gas station anymore without thinking, do I put on a mask or do I not put on a mask? And sometimes I even find myself thinking to myself, what's wrong with that person? Don't have a mask on. Doesn't he realize what's going on? And I know I'm not alone. I know I'm speaking to you, and I know you've thought that. But we live at a different time and a different age. And so quickly, I told Pastor, I said, it's so quickly that we're so busy, and we get on social media and we just spat off something so quickly and we just click off and go away. I think we should create a bracelet that says, what would Brother Hawkins do? You know, what would Jesus do? We should just put out a thing that says, what would Ron Hawkins do before you post? You read your post and you think, would Brother Hawkins post this? Matter of fact, why don't we just start tagging Brother Hawkins in all of our posts? Just so that he knows he'll see it and see how many people will actually post. I'm joking, of course. He's joking, I am. But how many people, you don't raise your hands, have ever typed something out and thought that and put the backspace in after you thought, no, Brother Hawkins probably not approve of this message, and backspace off? But you know, but we shouldn't have to have a watchdog like Brother Hawkins. We should already line our spirit with Pastor to know that what you post on social media can hurt people. It can affect people. We could cut off the ears of some people. And that's one of the things you'll realize is if you start spouting off things that just get things off of your chest, people will just turn you off. They'll hide you. They'll delete you. And you say, well, I don't care. That's one less friend I have to follow or don't follow. But what are we doing? Are we mad because they're Republican? Are we mad because they're Democrats? Are they mad because of who they voted for? And Brother Hawkins made a good point that we need to stop just finding friends that are like-minded like us. We need to start finding people that don't think like us and act like us. We need to realize that we need to not sharpen our sword and go around and telling people that we're going to cut them down, because there's people right now listening to my voice on social media right now that are listening to this message, and they've been hurt by somebody in the church. Because we had a Peter moment, that we were caught up in a carnal moment and we spouted off something and just get something off of our chest. And it hurts somebody so hard that now they're so wounded. God help us. God help us. And I'm talking to myself, because I don't want to go through life and worry that did I offend that person, because I have friends right now that are going to a devil's hell. And I don't want to just say that, because I want to save them. I want all of my friends and family to go to heaven. We found the fourth step of Peter following. You got to realize that after he cuts off the man's ear, and this is another thing that I thought was just fascinating. Think about the last miracle that Jesus performed on earth before the crucifixion. The last miracle he performed, to my knowledge, was he picked up that ear and he placed it on that man's head. He was doing collateral damage, so to speak. He was cleaning up Peter's mess. Everything that Jesus had poured into Peter, think about the thoughts that were going through Jesus' mind. First of all, he's being arrested. He just was kissed by a man who, the kiss of death, so to speak, that a man that he chose as one of his inner circle is now betraying him. And now the other guy who he thought was going to be, Jesus knew, but think about the flesh side of Jesus thinking, look, man, here's another one of my disciples is cutting people's ears off. And my goodness, and I'm picking up ears trying to, poor Jesus. Going through all of that, trying to fix things. But Jesus made the man's ear whole so he could hear. Fast forward into the day of Pentecost. Now this man could have possibly been listening to the Acts 2:30 message. My Lord, help us. The fourth, now Peter, we all know the story. Jesus told him, he said, you're going to not just deny me, you're going to deny me thrice. And before the cock crows in the morning. And of course, Peter being himself, no, Lord, I won't never deny you. But now everything's going on. The soldiers have come to arrest Jesus and all the 12 have scattered. We got Judas hanging himself, and Peter, what's it say? Peter was trying to follow them, but Judas had hung himself, and Peter was trying to follow Jesus, but what was he doing? He was far off. And somebody would recognize Peter, and Peter would deny Christ, and on he would go, and he was getting further and further away from Christ. On our walk with God, we need to make sure that we keep close to where our source help comes from. You might think to myself during these last few months and last year we've been away from the church, and maybe those that are still watching needs to realize that we can't just get our church online. We need to be able to make our way to a service. There is something about, and I'm the person that kind of set up live streaming, but nothing beats the real thing. Nothing beats the real thing. There's nothing that beats coming into a service and being around saints of God. We can't just stay at home in our pajamas and watch the live streaming and just count that as well. I've done my church thing and now I'm fine. We got to make sure that we go to a place where we are being ministered, because I'm not saying that God can't come through there and you can't feel the presence of God, but there's just something that happens when you get in the presence of God that happens, that you feel that conviction, you feel that power, that you come into the anointing when God's people get together. Peter allowed worldliness to get into his flesh. He quickly was found sitting down with the world and finding himself, warming himself by a world's fire. And here Christ was there dying on the cross. Peter should have tried to be right there beside him, but he wasn't. He was furthest away from God. And it's so quickly we look at Peter's life. It just didn't happen so quickly. One of the greatest messages I ever heard in my life was talk about wounds that nobody ever sees, and talks about this mighty tree. It's a very famous message. It talked about this mighty oak that fell, and nobody really knew what was wrong, but they had finally examined that great tree, and they had realized that there was rotten on the inside. And it was talking about wounds that people can't see, and it could have just been a breeze that came by that pushed that mighty oak over. But there's so many times we look at Peter that it wasn't just a sudden thing with Peter. This was something that happened over time, that Peter, from where he was, saying, I'm going to follow you, Christ, and bid me, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come out upon the water. You got to realize that Peter had great feats and Jesus saw great things in Peter. But Peter was also a man that was very, in some ways, hurt and messed up himself. And God spoke to me and says, aren't we all? Aren't we all have a little Peter in us, as far as Simon Peter, as far as all the things that happens, the things that happens in our lives. We all mess up and we all have problems. The intensity of the step six is Peter became more and more intensified with the Lord as he warmed himself by the fire and realized that he had just denied Christ. And it even said that Peter cursed, and how that he was just in a place where he went back to doing what he knew he could do, which was he found himself fishing and mending the nets, going back to where he was. And of course we find that, you know, he openly denied that he even knew Christ. And so many times I find that, and in closing, we find that I myself, being raised in this and knowing that God has an anointing, not on my life, but on everybody in here, we realize that all of us need to be an example to Peter, and know that it said that Peter, when it came to the end of Peter's life, was crucified upside down. That he didn't even find himself worthy enough to be crucified in the manner of Christ. And that's where I want to know that we as a church, we need to realize that for so long we see friends and family fall away from Christ, that they've been wounded by a moment in our lives where we've had a Peter moment, where we've cut somebody with a sword, that we've hurt somebody, we've said something to the wrong person, we posted something or said something or did something, and it's hurt somebody to the very core. And in these last few months and year, I feel like that we as a church, we got to realize that sometimes with Peter, you got to realize he was trying to stop something that Christ had commissioned to do. He had robed himself. The whole purpose of Jesus Christ was to come down to be robed in flesh, to come down and die on a cross. And Peter was trying to step in and cutting the man's ear off. He was trying to stop the very thing that Jesus was trying to fulfill. I'm not saying that this COVID-19 has been ordained by God. I don't think it necessarily God has anything to do, but sometimes we need to realize that sometimes God's plans happens for a reason. Amen. That things happen in this world that happens, that we need to realize that things are happening that's preparing us for the coming of Christ. Amen. And that we wield a sword and try to change the direction of Christ. Like so many times in our life, we think that we need to go and do this and do that. And we post this and we post that. And we think that it has no kind of consequence. But there is consequences to our words. There is consequences to what we say. And I just want to tell this church something. Right before the pandemic hit, we were right on the verge of thinking about building. We were buying property, and God kind of put a pause on that. And at first, I want to tell Pastor, I was just kind of beside myself thinking, why God? Why did this happen at this point? Why didn't we get that property across from Arby's? And I even felt like it was of God, that God had even made me stop that day. And I felt like that was what was in my dream of seeing this place and seeing those visions. And God kind of reminded me, listen, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about the plan that I have for this church. And I just want to let this church know that I believe God is getting ready to pour out a double portion and double anointing upon this church, that things are getting ready to happen. Things are getting ready to happen. And we need to realize that just because we didn't get that property, God has a better property in mind. I think, and I'm just going to speak this in faith, I think God, in other words, wants to say, hey, listen, you don't have to take out a million-dollar loan to buy property. How about you keep your money and I'll still give you property? We just need to speak out in faith, and I believe that we need to realize that God has a purpose and a plan for Turning Point. God is getting ready to pour out family revival. And if we prepare ourselves, God, I believe within 5 years we'll be having a dedication service in our new building. God can give us the land. But you got to realize, it kind of reminded me of the story as we stand tonight, of Abraham and Lot standing upon that mountain, looking upon the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about how Abraham felt when he gave Lot first dibs, saying, you can take any, choose which land. We know which land he chose, the well-watered plains. Think about if Lot had said, well, I'll take that way, and Abraham would have gone on into that well-watered. Think of all the headaches of Sodom and Gomorrah that Abraham would have had to have. Or, you know, God has a plan. And when we look at that story, we so many times we think, you know, it would have been better if Abraham would have taken that. It was his to take, but he gave Lot. And then we know the story, how that things happened in Lot's family, and his family got basically destroyed, and everything that Lot had, and it just got taken up with all the corruption that was going on in that city. And God spoke to me in a way that these last couple of weeks preparing for this tonight's lesson and tonight's word, that so many times we have that moment where God takes us just to a place where we have to make some decisions on which way we're going to go. And we always want to make sure we're walking in the path of righteousness. We're walking in the path that God wants us to go. How many people have tried to push open doors that God never intended us to open? How many times have we tried to go through and say, well, this must be of God, I'll just do it. And then we find out 2-3 months later, well, this wasn't God's will, you know, but leading up to that, we were telling everybody, oh, that was God's will. God doesn't do that. He doesn't change his mind one moment and the next moment. You got to realize that sometimes things happen for a reason. I could be bitter at God for allowing my father to pass. I could be bitter at God for allowing, you know, but things happen. I can hear my dad speaking to me right now. Things happen, Robin, for a reason. Tonight I brought my dad's Bible just to remind myself that we all have a legacy to go forward as far as in pouring into our children's lives and to those that we love. And I want tonight, with every eye closed, I hope I've not offended anybody, but I feel like I've spoke from my heart, that we need to realize that we need to be careful of what we say. We need to be careful of what we do. We need not to just have an attitude about whether or not to mask or to mask or to get mad at pastor because of this reason or that reason. We need to realize that God has a plan for our lives. And just because it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen, we got to realize that we got to place our lives in the hands of God. And if tonight, if I want to say this to somebody maybe that's in the sound of my voice or watching online or archived later, that you have been hurt by, as you would say, the church has hurt you. But we notice so quickly how Jesus prepared that man's ear. And you got to realize that men and women will fail you. That ministers and sometimes people that are in the church, they'll say things that will hurt you. But you got to realize that there's a God who loves you, that wants and cares about you, that he wants to repair the damage that maybe somebody has spoken unto you and has done to you. Don't go through your life going away from the very person that can heal your wounds tonight. Don't be like that tree that falls in the field because you let just time pass, fester on, and you allowed the corrosion to eat away at your soul. Fall upon an altar. Find a place that God can heal your wounded soul, that God can repair whatever that person has done to you, whether it's cut you deep. Let God heal you. Because I tell you tonight, it's not the church that you think it is. It's the church of God. It's not the church of man. It's the church of God. Find a place to pray tonight, church. And let us repent if we've offended somebody. Pray that what we've said, because we've all been in the flesh and have said stuff, we just turn it over to a God tonight. Thank you, Jesus.